Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I see in the last few minutes that Ryan Tubridy and his agent Noel Kelly have arrived at the Houses of the Oireachtas, where they will be entering Committee Room 1, and they'll be speaking to members of the Public Accounts Committee in just a few minutes at 11 o'clock, and we'll bring you everything from there as and when it happens. We'll be going live to that committee room once it's up and running. Our reporter Brian O'Connell was in Cork City Centre a little while ago asking people what they wanted to hear from Ryan Tubridy today.
I hope it all works out in the end for everybody concerned, to be honest. I go mad about him personally more than anybody else, but I'll be watching it, see what happens, you know.
And what do you think he should say today?
Well, he just has to be open and honest, because going forward, I really hope they sort it out, you know, because it's...
Can you see him back on TV or radio?
I find it very hard to see that, you know. Yeah. I find it very, very hard to see that. He was very much in the public eye. Being on the telly at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, it's huge. Everybody thinks, you feel like you know him, you know. So, which is the most disappointing thing about it, you know. Then you don't really know people, do we?
He got paid money. I'm sure he paid tax in it, which is the main thing. So really, did he really do anything wrong? I'm not sure, you know.
Is there a way back for him, do you think?
It's hard to say who's going to want to employ him. Is the issue now, because he's on hold now at the moment. Like, he probably did make a mistake. But unfortunately, in his job, perception is an awful lot. So if his reputation is gone, then his credibility is gone, and everything kind of goes with that as well then, you know.
I followed it, and I was very disappointed at the amount they were giving. The whole thing is very, very disappointing. Just leaves you with very little faith in human beings. Whatever way I stretch it, I can't begin to understand it.
Will you watch it today?
Oh, I will. Oh, I will. My husband has great, great, great time for Ryan Tubridy. Yeah, I wouldn't be as committed as that, but I certainly will.
Text 51551, today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
There's a big kickback coming. That's what Labour's Alan Kelly told me an hour ago on the programme as he went through those documents received by the Public Accounts Committee ahead of the appearance of Ryan Tubridy and Noel Kelly. And as we speak, the committee chair, Brian Stanley, is going through the rules for the committee members and for the witnesses. He's directing members about what they're allowed to ask Ryan Tubridy and Noel Kelly. We're just awaiting the opening statements. We'll go live to them the moment that they start. I'm joined in the studio by Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror. We're going to go straight to the Public Accounts Committee.
To come before you today, we felt it was really important to be here. I've always believed in the importance of public service. I was brought up that way, and I have great respect for the Oireachtas as an institution. I've come here, as you know, voluntarily, because I believe in the work that you as a committee are doing. I don't say that in any other way other than that I want to assist in every way I can. I appreciate that you'll have a lot of questions, so I'm going to try to keep my opening statement as short as possible. I begin by clearly and unambiguously at the very outset this morning state that I'm truly sorry for all of this and for any part which I have played, and be it consciously or unconsciously, and anything that has contributed to the debacle that we're dealing with today. I'd like to apologise to the committee that they've had to take this time to deal with this matter today, and to my colleagues in RTE, and to my listeners. So, given the events of the last 3 weeks, there is a lot that I wish to say, and there's a lot that I need to say. And so please bear with me. My aim today is to help correct and clarify some very serious matters, and I'll be relying on my agent, Noel Kelly, here to go through the figures and provide greater detail. I'd like everybody here today to understand that the figures and statements presented by RTE over the last few weeks in relation to my remuneration have created a fog of confusion. A fog of confusion over what I was paid, and when I was paid, and what I knew, and when I knew it. Full transparency and disclosure on RTE's part, I'm sorry to say, would simply have avoided so much of this. And I'm here to do one thing and one thing only, ladies and gentlemen, and committee members, and that is to set the record straight and to call out some untruths. And it is my belief that there are seven material untruths that I'd like to address. And the first is as follows. This claim that I did not take a pay cut from RTE in 2020. This is not true. I took a 20% pay cut from RTE in my 2020 to 2025 contract. Simple as that. I took a 20% pay cut from RTE. I'm obliged to do and present 205 radio shows and 38, as it was then, live two-hour late-late shows under this contract. I am what's called an independent contractor. I get no pension or entitlements from RTE, that's the nature of it. Under the terms of my contract, I'm allowed to do additional work outside of RTE, that's also the nature of it. And I stress that there is nothing morally, ethically or legally wrong with me or any independent contractor doing additional work for another client outside of RTE. But to be clear, I took a pay cut from RTE of 20% in 2020 for each of the 5 years of my contract at a cost of €525,000 to me over the length of that contract. It's an awful... I'll move on to my second untruth. The suggestion that my decision to retire from the Late Late Show was prompted by this whole debacle. This is not remotely true. I wasn't aware of any of this fiasco when I decided to retire from the Late Late Show. I made my initial decision to leave the Late Late Show pretty much a year ago. It was very personal. It was made in the heart and in the soul. Around this time, I mentioned it to those closest to me, my family and my agent and a few others, and they were surprised. They were very surprised. Why would you leave such a show? And I explained to them and eventually brought them round to my way of thinking that, among other things, I had left a lot of me on the floor in the studio after COVID and during COVID. I was burnt out, being honest with you, and I was exhausted. A lot of people in this country, as you know, were burnt out and exhausted after COVID, doing a lot more important jobs than I was doing, but I'm just telling you from where I'm coming from. So I turned it over in my mind over a few months, but by the time I got to January, there was no turning over in my mind. I knew it was time to go. I made the decision. And just to make it abundantly clear, there is zero connection between my departure and this very raw situation of recent weeks. I informed management on March 13th of this year. I first became aware of this Grant Thornton review in May, some 2 months later, and even then I had no inkling of the bombshell which was to come when RTE released their statement on June 22nd. The third untruth is that I was covertly or secretly overpaid by RTE. This is not true. I was not overpaid by RTE at any point. I fully accept I am very, very well paid. I understand that. But I was fully paid in accordance with my contract, which my agent negotiated openly and honestly and in good faith. There are no overpayments. Now, there are RTE's under-declarations, which we challenged them on back in 2020. And there are indeed RTE's over-declarations, of which they actually paid me in 2020 and 2021. This has caused justifiable anger among my colleagues. I understand that. And we're going to deal with all of that in the next few hours, and indeed the next 6 hours or more. We'll stay for as long as it takes. The upshot of RTE's inaccurate declarations is an impression that I have been less than honest. This is not the case. The fourth untruth is that I was aware that RTE were trying to conceal payments to me. This is not true. I was not aware that RTE were concealing payments to me. RTE acknowledged this in their statement of June 22nd, 2023, when they stated that Grant Thornton had made no findings against me. The fifth untruth, there was a secret agreement with Renault that I tried to conceal. This is not true. But not only that, it beggars belief. Think about it. I had a separate commercial agreement with Renault, the basis of which was that I would make public appearances and perform road shows and things for them. And the work that I've done for Renault is all over social media. The suggestion that was a secret makes no sense. The sixth untruth, that RTE's underwriting of Renault's payment obligations was a secret. This is not true. RTE's underwriting of Renault's payment obligations was not a secret, as the documents we've prepared for you today show. And as my agent will explain in more detail, RTE committed in February 2020 to provide this guarantee in the early stages of contract negotiations around my 2020 to 25 contract. This is unequivocally confirmed in an email dated critical document, 20th of February 2020, from Breda O'Keefe to my agent. It was copied to other members of the executive board, the director general, the RTE solicitor's office. Everyone in RTE who needed to know knew. You'll find this on page 10 of the booklet of documents you have in front of you. Far from being secret, it was well known And finally, the seventh untruth, that I did not ask RTE about their under declarations of my earnings. When they released the 2017, 18 and 19 earnings, as they did all in one day, January 20th, 2021, this is a question I did not ask at the time. This is a question I should have asked. I fully, fully accept that. But I will try and explain briefly and as clearly as humanly possible. At the end of the 2015 to 20 contract, my agent advised me that I was entitled to a phenomenally large figure payment of €120,000 that has been variously called a loyalty or an end of contract or an exit payment. I did not invoice for that payment, I did not pursue that payment, and I did not receive any payment. The documents provided to you bear this out. In my simple view, I had foregone that payment for €120,000, not taken it. But because of how RTE reported that decision in their accounts, Cathaoirleach, the narrative of the last 3 weeks has been that not only did I take this payment, but that I somehow contrived to hide it. So let me reiterate, I actually waived my entitlement to this payment and I didn't receive 1 cent of it. I hid nothing. I had nothing to hide. As the evidence provided to you today shows, my agent had already pointed out to RTE in 2020 that we thought the manner in which they were planning to account for my earnings in 2017, 18 and 19 was incorrect. And we had understood that they accepted our position, so that by the time they released the figures, I assumed that the chief financial officer, the financial professionals in RTE and the external auditors who had audited the accounts in these years, 17, 18, 19, had accountancy reasons for accounting for it the way they did. So I'd like to add that my company earnings fully reflect what I earned in these and all subsequent years. I'm particularly upset and disappointed about the decision and framing of the RTE statement of June 22nd, which inextricably linked my name to this whole fiasco. My name was mentioned 15 times in that statement. 15 times. And I was not consulted once. I did not have the Grant Thornton report, which RTE had, and which RTE acknowledged made no findings of wrongdoing on my part. I asked RTE to clarify that this was the case. They did. 4 days. 4 days after much of the damage was done. Pretty much all of the damage was done. I signed a contract in good faith. I declared my earnings. I paid every cent of tax. My employer has acknowledged that. It has engaged in deceptive practices to pay me, practices that were hidden from me. The result, I'm nearly finished, forgive me for overgoing. The result of this is that I've become the face of a national scandal. I've been accused of being complicit, deceitful and dishonest. I think the statement of June the 22nd was very unhelpful in this regard. The full truth was concealed. I take full responsibility. I can't say it enough. I take full responsibility for not asking more questions back on January the 20th, 2021, when the figures for that 2017, 18 and 19 were released. I take responsibility for that. I understand. But as has become abundantly clear and obvious in the last 3 weeks, this highlights the existence of two RTEs. Two. There are those who are involved in attempting to conceal payments and who were in a position to call me or call my agent and ask for our help in establishing the full facts. Instead, they chose to hurriedly issue a deeply, deeply damaging statement on June 22nd, which failed to include the full facts. I have nothing but respect and admiration for that great number of decent, hardworking people in RTE, my colleagues, my friends. And I'm very sorry for those whose lives have been made difficult with an incessant dripping of new revelations. I'm thinking particularly of my radio show colleagues and friends, that they've had to be put through all of this for reasons not of their own making. They work hard. They all work hard in RTE. And I want to thank those colleagues who have supported me through these last few weeks. And in closing, I'd like to thank the many people from across the country who've taken time to stop me on the street, decent Irish citizens, taking my shoulder and my elbow in their hands and saying, "You'll get through this." I have nearly a foot off the ground high of cards and letters from people who have written to Ryan Tuberty, Dublin. And I got them, fair play to the post people in on post. And I thank the Irish people for that. I am hopeful that they will see from my statement and my appearance here today that I am determined to inform them of the truth and to demonstrate that I have nothing to hide. And I'm also hopeful that I will soon get back on air to do the job I love. Thank you all for your patience.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty. Mr. Kelly, no, it's normally 5 minutes for opening statements, and we've gone 15 minutes into it. So I would ask you to, it's normally 5 minutes for them. So I would ask you to, to try and be brief, as brief as you can with it, please. But we do want to give you the opportunity because we realise that you're here today to put it to your side. So please cooperate.
I just want to echo everything Ryan says, and I'm sorry that we're here today as well. We asked to come and to meet the House because we've huge respect for it, and we haven't spoken to anybody else, and we just wanted to get the opportunity to put our side across. I'll try and be as brief as I possibly can, but if you'll allow me. So, Hurlock and deputies, thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today. I hope this meeting will help to clarify the confusion which has arisen over the past few weeks. At the outset, I want to say that we appreciate the seriousness of all of these issues. The controversy over the past few weeks has been damaging to RTE, but it's also been hugely damaging to Ryan Tuberty, to myself and to my own business. Earlier today, we circulated a pack which we believe are the key documents that will help understand this crisis. The document runs 39 pages and it includes relevant excerpts from Ryan's 2015 and 2020 contracts with RTE, extracts from the accounts of Ryan's company for the relevant years, various mails which track the back and forth of the negotiations for the 2020 RTE contract with Renault. We've made redactions where necessary, but we've been as transparent as possible to inform you with all the information at our disposal. I want to highlight a number of documents which will go to the heart of the issues. Let me start with Ryan's under-declaration of payments made to Ryan when there were published figures for 17, 18, 19 and in January 21. This issue has caused a lot of distress and it's entirely a mess of RTE's own making. Ryan's contract from 2015, pages 1 to 4 of the pack, clearly states the fees he received in each of the following 5 years, and they're set out in clause 8.1 of the contract. It was 495, 495, 545, 545, 545 for the 5 years. He received those fees exactly, nothing more and nothing less. This is confirmed in the extracts from Ryan's filed accounts company Tuttle Productions, which we also include in the pack. We note that the accounts of Tuttle Productions run from January to December, whereas RTE's contract ran from September. In January 21, when RTE made its incorrect declarations, they knew what they had paid Ryan. Indeed, the Chief Financial Officer emailed us on the 19th of December, 2019, on page 5 in the pack. She set out the actual earnings for each of the relevant years correctly. But just over a year later, in January 2021, RTE made false or incorrect declarations about the same figures. In some respects, this was an accident waiting to happen. We'd previously asked RTE to give us reasonable notice when they planned to publish figures. My email on the 16th of January 2020, page 6 of the pact, specifically requests this. If they'd done that, we would have had time to check the figures and avoid errors. However, RTE ignored our request for reasons I still don't understand. In March 2020, we saw the first sign that RTE, with all its accountants, auditors, might be struggling to understand the correct accounting treatment for what they'd paid Ryan in 2017, 2018 and 2019. That month they sent us a letter about exit fee bonus Ryan was due as part of his 2015 contract. It was agreed that Ryan was not going to raise an invoice for this and they wanted to agree how to explain it. But in the draft which was sent to us, they proposed to change the payments which they made to Ryan already, effectively lowering them by €120,000. Their logic was that they could offset €120,000 we had agreed not to ask for in 2020 against payments which had already been made to Ryan for 17, 18 and 19. We argued against this and they accepted our points at the time. This is clear from the document pages 14 to 16 of our pack. For some reason, however, it looks like the confused thinking returned and they published again the wrong figures in January 2021, effectively causing his reputation damage to Ryan in the process. Huge reputational damage, sorry. One important point I should add. Just last month, on the 23rd of June, RTE published new figures. Effectively, they restated figures for payments to Ryan for 17, 18 and 19 and added in declarations for figures paid to him in 20 and 21. Bizarrely, the figures they declare for both 20 and 21 are wrong. In both years, they overstate the amount they paid Ryan, and we addressed this issue on page 28 and 29 of the pack. For 2020, they overstated earnings of 62,536. For 21, they overstated 83,381. So clearly, Orty is still struggling with these declarations. Now let's turn to the Renault contract, which ran parallel to the 2020 contract which Ryan had with RTE. I refer you to page 5 of the pack. This is an email sent to NK Management on the 19th of December 2019 from RTE's then Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Breda O'Keefe. This email sets out RTE's starting position for negotiations on the 2020 contract. You will see that this email is where the idea of a commercial sponsorship with a third party with an annual fee of €75,000 is first suggested. This comes from RTE. This did not strike us as unusual, as Renault was a key sponsor for RTE, so it was understandable that they would try to wish to ensure that all parties were aligned. Next, we come to RTE's decision to underwrite this Renault contract. This is perhaps the most shocking revelation of this morning. Since this controversy began, RTE tried to distance themselves from this decision. Effectively, they have blamed the former Director General, Dee Forbes, for doing a solo run and giving a verbal commitment to underwrite the contract on a Zoom call in May. RTE executives had said how there was a strong pushback against the idea of underwriting the agreement. That is incorrect. I refer you to page 10 of the pack. So at the time, Ms. Breda O'Keefe was Chief Financial Officer of RTE. On this page, you will see an email which she sent to my office dated the 20th of February, 2020. It is copied to another member of the Executive Board, the then Director General and RTE's solicitor. In this email, Ms. Breda O'Keefe responds in red to various points which had been discussed. She states at the top of the email that this is our final position, because negotiations go back and forth, back and forth. This is our final position in respect of the new contract. On the last paragraph on this page, Ms. O'Keefe, on behalf of RTE, states explicitly, we can provide you with a side letter to underwrite this fee for the duration of the contract. There was no secret. There is no secret. There was no secret. To our surprise, Ms. O'Keefe told the committee last week, when she left RTE in March, that there was no support to provide that type of guarantee, and no such guarantee was on offer. But she had written to us making exactly that offer a month earlier. Last week, nobody from RTE here with Ms. O'Keefe challenged her when she said that. And we were surprised too, because on the 30th of June, 4 days before she appeared at the media committee, we wrote to RTE and highlighted the significance of Ms. O'Keefe's email. Her email also casts a new light on the contribution of Adrian Lynch, Deputy Director General, to this committee. Mr. Lynch told the committee that agreement was to give underwrite. The contract was given verbally on a Zoom call with NK Management on the 7th of May by the then Director General. And he described this as a significant point at the centre of this. RTE had tried to portray the guarantee as the decision given late in the negotiations on a Zoom call by Dee Forbes without the awareness of the Executive Board. Clearly, this is not correct. The decision was taken early by RTE and known widely within the Executive Board and RTE. So let me move to the invoicing arrangements for Renault contract. Our document pack shows that RTE did not just suggest the idea of the contract with Renault, it oversaw every development and implementation of same. We were happy with that. We knew Renault was a major, major sponsor for RTE, so RTE would be committed to keeping them happy. We knew the contract with Renault was a separate contract from Ryan's independent contractor services Ryan had for RTE for radio and TV work. We understood that Ryan would have to do extra work for Renault, but that was no difference to the other work that Ryan would do for the BBC or with his publishers, etc. This was just a separate commercial agreement. Ryan was agreeing to a substantial pay cut from RTE and he was entitled to seek other work outside of RTE. There was nothing secret about this. Nothing secret about this. Far from it. The contract required Ryan to do public appearances for Renault, which they could seek and expect attention, and indeed they did. So with the terms agreed, RTE instructed us how to invoice for this work. For the first invoice, they instructed us to raise an invoice directly with Renault And they gave us names and details set out in the proposed narrative for the invoice. As you can see, the instructions RT gave us for this is an email on the 24th of July 2020, page 23 in this pack. And on page 24, you can see the invoice we did indeed send to Renault. When it came to invoices for 2 and 3, RT gave us new instructions. I refer to page 25 of the pack. This is an email from the then commercial director, Geraldine O'Leary, dated the 29th of April 2022. This invoice passed on instructions as for how invoices 2 and 3 should be raised, and the email instructs us on the company name to be put on the invoice, ASDIS, the address to be put on the invoice, the VAT reference to be included in the invoice, and it instructs us not to put any person's name on it. This email also gave us general insurance from a colleague of Mr. Leary's that said, if he, meaning NK Management, sends it back to me, I will sort everything else out. You should know that while invoices were made dead to ASDIS, we were directed to email them to RTE. They would do what was necessary to process them with ASDIS. I should stress that at this time, we in NK Management had no idea who ASDIS was. We had no reason to think that ASDIS was linked to RTE or that it was acting on behalf of RTE. We had no idea they might be making payments to us on behalf of RTE or that the payments were linked to RTE underwriting the Renault contract. RTE never said that to us. ASDIS never said that to us, and Renault never said that to us. We simply followed instructions we were given, as we had with the first invoice. You will see a copy of the two invoices raised in the name VAS has been sent by email from us to RTE in the pack, pages 26, 27. People have asked us why we went along with those instructions, why we didn't set out more detail about what the invoice is related to. But at the time, we had no reason to suspect that RTE might be trying to hide payments to Ryan, and I'm still shocked that that was their intention. We trusted RTE. It's not some unknown startup with opaque funding and checkered past or a record for dodgy financial dealings. It's a national institution, 100 years old, massive business, turning over 350 million a year. It has internal and external auditors. It has a heavyweight board, teams of financial advisors, accountants. As Mr. Backhurst said yesterday, RTE has robust processes and rigorous oversight of financial in many parts of the organisation. And that is what we assumed too. Why would we suspect that they were hiding information about one of their key contracts? Why would they even do that? Why would they even do that? We're nearing the end, and sorry, but it's important. But I want to address one other thing. There's been a lot of coverage of a side letter with the 2020 contract in which the Director General says the agreed earnings in the contract won't be reduced during the term of the contract. As any lawyer will confirm, this letter had no practical impact. The contract itself guarantees the earnings, and that is what a contract does. We were simply trying to impress on RTE that Ryan had just signed up to new cuts in his 2020 contract of 525,000 and had also never taken the payment of 120,000. So they shouldn't even think about coming back for more cuts given the size of those cuts. And to conclude, ladies and gentlemen, for the past number of years, Ryan has continued to perform at the highest level, working with millions of colleagues and leading shows which bring in, over the six-year period, 100 million in revenue to RTE. He raises tens of millions for charities through the toy show, various appeals. We've heard a lot about RTE's public service ethos, a lot about their public service ethos, but let's call a spade, RTE is a hybrid organisation. Its commercial activities are key to keeping the station afloat, maintaining jobs and creating content. Ryan Tubridy has been a huge driver for RTE's most successful commercial activities over the past 14 years. Ryan and I have attracted, and our families and our friends, a horrendous, horrendous amount of criticism and abuse in the past few weeks, and I would not wish it on anybody. Why? Because the only figure in this whole story whose face was recognisable was Ryan Tubridy. He's been made a poster boy for this scandal, and that's undeserved. This is not the Ryan Tubridy scandal. This is the RTE scandal. Thank you.
Thanks for those opening statements. Just before we move to the committee members, there's one issue, Mr. Tubridy, you might clarify for me.
The issue of the 75,000 payments, obviously the invoices for that was what brought this to light in March with, when the auditors found them. And when I first heard about this, and I wanted to ask you this morning, just to set the scene for this meeting, that that 75,000 shortfall gap that had to be made up, call it what you like, additional payment, the country was shut down. Yes. Thousands of my constituents and people around the country were on 200 or 300 euros a week pandemic payment. And you and your agent, you know, between you, did you have any doubts about the merits of that or the credibility of looking, you know, to make up that 75,000 at that particular point? You know, because you're on the Late Late Show and very provided a good service, you know, and I watched it because, you know, it was good viewing right through COVID, and to just to acknowledge that the performances were great given the circumstances. But did you have any doubts about, you know, the credibility or the merits of that, of looking for that, and your own credibility?
I appreciate the question and the kind words.
Short answers, because
I'll keep them short. I think what I'm going to be saying a lot today,
in relation to that, is that
my agent and friend Noel Kelly, it's his job to get the best deal as he sees it for his client
on
clients.
On your instructions, Mr. Turbidy.
Well, you could say that, yeah,
yes,
of course.
On your instructions.
I mean, he would absolutely try and get what he considers to be the best deal.
Did you have any doubts in those discussions that you had between you back in the earlier part of 2020?
I think it would be fair to say
about the merits of it.
In terms of the financial implications of the commercial side of RTE, that it probably felt it wasn't problematic in that sense.
That's not what I'm asking you. Did you have doubts about the public optics of this and the possible reputational damage of looking for that 75,000 in those circumstances, yes or no? And did you discuss that, the merits of that? That's all I want to know.
I would say that I would always have doubts about doing too much.
And did you discuss that with your agent?
Do we have a conversation about that? Well, that's unlikely. No, I'd say.
So you're telling me here this morning that you had no conversation with NK Communications regarding the matter of looking for this gap of 75,000.
No, we wouldn't. We would be inclined to just. To be honest with you, Ciarán, like, I say to Noel, I say you do your job and I do mine,
right,
and that's how it works.
But you knew that this gap had to be made up, and this 75,000 had to be magicked up somewhere or another, for want of a better term.
I trust in the process.
Yes. So you've clarified that you've no doubts about the merits, the credibility, or the possible reputational damage. That wasn't discussed.
That was not discussed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Deputy Imelda Munster, 15 minutes.
Good morning, Chair, guests, or witnesses, rather. I just want to start.
Okay, we're going to come back to the committee in just a moment, but I have Kevin Doyle here, Group Head of News at the Irish Independent, along with Louise Byrne from the Irish Mirror and Barry Lennon. I just want a quick catch up with all three of you just to assess, really, and give me your reaction to what you've heard so far. Kevin?
Well, a lot is the answer. And I think Ryan Tuberty's statement ran to about 1,700 words. And his last sentence was basically that he wants to be back on radio in a studio just like this in RTE. And I think the previous 1,700 words make that very unlikely now, because he has basically put an entirely different version of events than what we have heard over the last few weeks from executives in RTE. And it is the gulf now just seems unbridgeable between RTE and Ryan Tuberty.
And I think the key line in that regard was in relation to the Renault deal and the underwriting of it by RTE. He says everyone in RTE who needed to know knew.
Yes. And of course, up to this point, there was this message being put out there by RTE, indeed at multiple committee meetings, that Dee Forbes was the only person who had all the information and who could therefore have assessed what payments were going where and how this was all transpiring. Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty both saying, we trusted RTE. We copied in all the people who should have been copied in on emails. And from their point of view, there was no secrecy about any of this, that it was well known.
Louise?
I think a lot of TDs were going into this today, not only this meeting, but the media committee meeting later on, hoping that this would bring closure to the whole thing, that this would provide answers and kind of put a stop to this. I think this has raised even more questions again. I don't think this is going to put an end to it. If anything, I think it's going to make it worse. And I think what was interesting is how Ryan Tuberty actually approached it. He seemed quite nervous when he went in. He seemed quite emotional as well in parts. His voice appeared to crack a couple of times. And what I think was interesting is he seems to be trying to win back public favour. It wasn't in his opening statement that we were sent this morning, or that PAC was sent this morning rather, but we were remarking earlier, myself and Kevin, that there was no real outright apology, and he actually opened up with that straight away. He apologised to his listeners, to his colleagues in RTE, to his radio team. Then at the end he mentioned the foot high of cards and letters and people grabbing his elbow on his shoulders. So I think it's really interesting that there does seem to be some kind of attempt here, and it's been mentioned several times by both himself and Noel Kelly that their reputations have been badly damaged, and it pretty much seems like they're trying to regain some of that reputation here today.
And Barry, just to come to the Renault agreement again, I mean, as Kevin said, the gulf here that has opened up between Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly and RTE on this one is, we can't overstate how wide that gulf is now. And to go back to what he said, everyone who needed to know new. Will you just tell us where we are with that now, as difficult as it is
well,
to do that?
Well, it appears after all the hours of hearings, we are back to the original point. We are back to square one with much clear water between Ryan Tuberty, Noel Kelly and RTE. Of course, Noel Kelly highlighting that email which we discussed earlier on from Breda O'Keefe, and it's said in bold writing in the written statement which he delivered there, Miss O'Keefe, on behalf of RTE, states explicitly that we can provide you with a side letter to underwrite the fee for Reynolds for the duration of the contract. Obviously, she gave different evidence last week, and RTE, with that statement out this morning, out of the traps quite early, it must be added, to say essentially they reject this claim that this offered, this email from Breda O'Keefe, constituted any sort of legally binding guarantee. Mm-hmm. Both men went off script on several occasions throughout their presentations as well, which was rather interesting, and Noel Kelly becoming quite emotional and animated towards the end of his presentation there, and also referencing the new Director General Kevin Backhurst, saying his quote yesterday, how RTE had robust processes, and that's what Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty assumed when it came to the payments to the presenter.
Yeah, interesting as well when it comes to the Renault deal and the decision to do the deal in the first place, this commercial deal. Noel Kelly mentioned a date in December of 2019, and he says it was RTE who suggested that this deal be done.
And that is one of the key unanswered questions. What is the genesis of this deal? Where did it come from? But already you could hear from Brian Stanley there, the chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee, that the two men's presentation, or indeed their explanation, perhaps may not pass much truck with some of the TDs as we progress throughout the day. Brian Stanley going in, asking Ryan Tuberty, you knew that this COVID pandemic was there. You knew that this deal was in place. Why essentially did you not rip it up given the effects of the COVID pandemic? Mm-hmm. So the Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly emotional addresses there at times, Ryan Tuberty panging the table on occasion as well. But as we can hear already, a cleavage between what the politicians think about this and what they have presented.
Yeah, so the questioning is beginning now, and I suppose that's a completely separate issue, isn't it? You have the statements, they're prepared, Kevin, they're ready. Questions, different ballgame.
This is the bit where, and we see this in committees all the time, people go in very well, they will have been coached, they will have spent days rehearsing what they're going to say here, but there will be questions they don't expect. There will be moments where TDs, like Brian Stanley we heard just before the full Q&A started, trying to press buttons of emotion, which is what he was doing there with Ryan Tuberty, of basically going, you were the man on Friday nights telling us, stick together, we're all in this together, be nice to one another. And meanwhile, your agent was off trying to negotiate you extra money while people all over the country were losing their jobs. That's hard to take, and it's hard to control the narrative when that's been pushed back against you. So that'll be the test.
Do you agree with Barry that we're back to square one given what we've just heard?
I think in terms of how this all unfolded, the problem now is for the RTE executives who have put forward a narrative over the last 3 weeks, including Adrian Lynch, whose name was brought up as part of this, in terms of this idea that Dee Forbes was the only person and almost scapegoat, pretty much, is what's been presented. I think we are, because I think they all now have to revise their version of events and go back into the committees again.
It's actually more problematic again. I was at the doorstep involving the new Director General, Kevin Backhurst, yesterday. I asked, did he believe it credible that Dee Forbes was the only person to know every piece of the jigsaw about this tripartite agreement? He said, on the basis of what he had seen, it was, but obviously different evidence presented, perhaps by Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty
and
there.
Interestingly, on that point as well, when Breda O'Keefe appeared before the committee, she said that at the time she left RT, everybody, and that seemed to include Dee Forbes, was pushing back against this idea of a guarantee.
Actually, we have a clip of that, and I think it's really worth listening back to it. This is back last week. So Breed O'Keefe was being questioned by Sinn Féin's John Brady, and she was asked about her comments earlier that negotiations with Ryan Tuberty and his agent Noel Kelly had reached a stalemate. She was asked why she had expressed serious concerns about the risk the commercial deal posed to the organisation.
Guaranteeing the commercial arrangement posed a risk and a potential exposure, a cost exposure and a liability exposure to the organisation if the commercial arrangement wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah, so you were doing your job and you expressed those serious concerns in relation to the potential risk if that agreement was under review.
I did, but just to confirm, when I left the organisation, there was no support from RTE to provide that type of guarantee. So I wasn't, that was my view, but it also was the view of the Director General. It was the view of the head of content and anyone that was, and the RTE solicitor at the time, just to confirm.
Okay, well then the acting director general, Adrian Lynch, told the committee, this is back last week as well, but this is really important to put this in context. He said that from letters he's reviewed since this story broke, Noel Kelly appears to have been incorrectly under the impression that RTE would underwrite the Renault deal for 5 years.
I think there may be a view that there was an interpretation from the agent that meant there would be underwriting for the 5 years, which is absolutely incorrect, because my review of the file is the agent provided a letter that was never signed and was pushing to have a letter signed over a period of time. That all culminated after Breed O'Keefe had left the organisation.
Again.
Okay, now, Barry Lenehan, you've been looking at this today because you had sight not only of the opening statement from Noel Kelly, but also the response from RTE in the context of what we just heard there. Explain to us where we're at.
Yeah, so RTE essentially arguing from early doors this morning that what Breed O'Keefe had said to Noel Kelly in that email from the 20th of February 2020, which was copied to Dee Forbes and Jim Jennings, that essentially it did not constitute a legally binding contract or a legally binding guarantee on RTE's behalf. Of course, the statement from Miss O'Keefe in that email was, we made good progress on what the commercial agreement would be, and we agreed to an event for Renault to the Late Late at Dublin and two outside of Dublin, which are RTE-led Late Late Show events, and we could provide you with a side letter to underwrite this fee for the duration of the contract. So that's what's stated by Miss O'Keefe in that email to Noel Kelly, the agent, on behalf of Ryan Tuberty, but essentially RTE scotching any idea this morning that it's represented a legally binding guarantee in spite of the bald statement within that email.
Let's go back now to the Public Accounts Committee and the Sinn Féin TD Imelda Munster is currently questioning.
I just want to come to Mr. Tuberty if I can, please. And there's just in 2019, you might have seen this out in the public domain recently, that you were launching the St. Vincent de Paul Christmas appeal, and when you were interviewed, you were said that you were haunted by the idea of children in poverty and the homeless crisis, and you also said that you'd accept RTE's cost-cutting measures gracefully, and when it comes to this sort of issue, that's not something you've ever been found wanting on. Mm-hmm. But here we are 3 or 4 years later, and we know that that pay cut was subsidised by this deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't characterise that as a pay cut being subsidised by any deal.
But that's what it looks
I would also,
like.
With respect, Deputy, I would also urge you not to conflate somebody being well paid with somebody who might not have a conscience, particularly with work that you mentioned, St. Vincent de Paul. It's a charity I have enormous time for since I was a child.
We're asking questions.
I appreciate that,
here.
I just think it's under circumstances.
Yeah,
I would not like to sully the work that those people do around
nobody,
the country.
Oh, there's nobody mentioned the work that those people do. I'm referring to what you stated, what you quoted in the media.
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm referring
okay,
to.
Okay, I'm sorry, I apologise.
And I accept that you do a lot of charity work.
No, I'm not trying to say that.
There's nobody saying anything otherwise.
Sorry, Deputy, you know, I appreciate that. Yes, I understand.
You do that, good work. But at the same time, you knew that this separate deal was being done and it would compensate for the pay cuts. But you also knew, and this is the thing, that your agent had requested that RTE underwrite that agreement.
Well,
so you knew...
I'll
just get to the question. So you knew that that pay deal was going to make softer or not even enhance any pay cut that had been taken. But you also knew from through your agent that RTE were underwriting that deal. So yeah, that you knew that so when that, your colleagues...
There's a misunderstanding here, honestly. Yeah,
this was a separate contract.
No, for, I'm not talking
sorry,
about the
this
Reynolds,
is a separate
I'm
contract
about
for separate services. Yeah. A separate
I'm
contract.
Talking about the tripart.
Just allow Mr. Kelly to answer briefly.
This was a separate contract for separate services. This had nothing to do with Ryan's new contract for radio and TV service.
No,
this
no,
is a separate contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The tripartite deal.
Yeah.
Where the two...
With RTE and Reynolds, the sponsor,
where
and
RTE had underwritten that agreement, right?
Yes.
And they were paying it. And my question to Mr. Tuberty
was... No, Renault were paying it.
Sorry?
Renault were paying it.
Renault, but RTE paid them. And then the 275
But if RTE paid them, that was an RTE thing. Yeah. Renault paid.
Yeah, but
and if RTE paid them, that has absolutely nothing to do with us. We don't work for... I don't work for RTE.
No,
we don't work for RTE. Yeah. So, no, just... I know you're trying to clarify. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm talking about the two... We've just discussed it, so there's no way you don't know about it. The two €75,000 payments that were put through, that you were asked not to put any person's name on.
Again, as you said, it's your request.
Is the question being directed to Mr. Tuberty?
Mr. Tuberty,
yeah, well,
yes.
Mr. Kelly, please don't interrupt.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Tuberty.
So, yeah, I think that the reason, sorry, Deputy, to clarify, the reason Noel is coming in on this is because his knowledge of the nuts and bolts of these things is far superior to mine. So... I'm not being disrespectful to you
that's
by not
fair
answering
enough.
Some
and,
of my
And likewise, but
thank
I'm
you.
Asking you again
yes.
in relation to that, mm-hmm. when, you know, and you did say that, you know, it haunts you and child poverty and that, and that's perfectly understandable.
And
of course you do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, where does that tally with the fact that you knew that the two payments that were going through for 75,000, the tripart agreement was struck, right?
Yes.
You knew that they were for yourself as part of that tripart agreement, but you would have also known that RTE had agreed to underwrite that agreement. So, in fact, it was the taxpayers, it was the licence fee holders that were paying that money. It
as I understand it, there was a relationship with Renault that would sort that out.
No, the second and third one we're talking about.
But am I not right in saying that the second and third one? There seems to be a misunderstanding.
No, there's no absolute... We've sat through 3 weeks of it, in all fairness, Mr. Tuberty. There's no misunderstanding from our...
Well, I'm misunderstanding, obviously.
There's no misunderstanding.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the 275. Look, if you prefer not to answer, that's fine.
No,
if you don't want to answer...
No, I'm happy to answer. I just feel that I was always under the impression that money was from Renault.
From Renault,
yes.
You received 345,000... extra in payments.
Now,
was underwritten by RTE, the taxpayer.
I really dispute that.
Okay, so we're going to move on because we just have to keep moving because we're full attendance here. Deputy.
Okay, we're just going to take a quick break. Back with more from the Public Accounts Committee after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Back to PAC and questions now coming from Green Party TD Mark O'Cahasig.
We did assemble a team of people to talk with and to get the best advice. I was always told that by relative minds, always surround yourself with people smarter than you. So yeah, of course, I spoke to people.
Yeah, were people in pay in order to offer crisis comms advice, either internally or externally?
I presume they weren't doing it for free, of course.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes. I hope the answer to this is no, but were you advised by those people to delay the documentation until half
eight this morning? No. The documentation, and I am my apologies for that. I think
it's a very comprehensive set of documentation.
Yeah.
It sheds a lot of light. But it was to receive it at half eight.
Yeah.
And I think particularly of the staff who support this committee, who stayed up until very late last night.
My apologies
got
to
up
them,
very
yeah.
early this morning.
Do you want me to come back on that, or would
briefly,
you rather keep going?
Could.
Okay, I'll try. The last 3 weeks have been chaotic. They have been destructive. They have been beyond difficult. And all I'll say to you is that we wanted to get things right today because so many people have been getting things wrong.
Okay, I fully accept. I don't want to interrupt, but I have one night
we were working on this till the midnight oil. So, yeah.
I just want to examine one thing that's in your opening statement this morning. You state clearly that you took a 20% pay cut. Is that inclusive or exclusive of the €75,000 that you were receiving either from Renault or through RTE through a barter account? When you say you took a 20% pay cut, is that inclusive or exclusive of the €75,000?
No, I'll take that. If I can answer that, thank you. The 20% was Ryan's contract was 495, 495, 545, 545, 545.
That was this 20% referred to the payment direct from RTE.
I'll explain the percentage. So that was from 15 to 19. And in Ryan's then next contract, his salary was 440,000 per annum, which was 200,000 for radio, 240,000 for TV. That was 105,000 reduction per year by five. So that was 525,000. It didn't include the 120,000 that he didn't take, and the Renault 75,000 was a completely separate contract. So this was on his TV and radio earnings.
So it's exclusive of the Renault contract or the payment through RTE by the
Yes,
account.
Yeah.
Now, I just have to contest that we regard this as separate. Now, the email over and backs that we see in the contract negotiations are shocking to, I think, all of the members for a number of reasons. One being the number of people who are actually included, and you've drawn attention to that.
Yes.
But it also points very clearly to the fact that actually it's not separate. It is part of the RTE contracting.
No, it's not part of
it's
the RTE contracting.
It's within, I mean, if it was entirely separate, then why would RTE be so
RTE came to us with this. Like, at all times, everything to do with this contract was under instruction from RTE, but it was the contract was, and the payments were with Renault.
So what we're hearing there is questioning from a number of, because Imelda Munster started this, now Mark O'Cassick is going down the same road. Did Ryan Tuberty take a pay cut, and was the side deal for the 75,000, was that part of the compensation? So you're taking a pay cut, but actually this is the money you're going to get. And were they two separate entities, Kevin, or not?
Yeah, and Noel Kelly is trying to argue that they are unconnected, even though that tripartite agreement involved NK Management, Ryan Tuberty and Renault and RTE. But clearly from the two statements we've had and the answers they've given there, they're trying to say that this is just commercial work, in the same way if Ryan Tuberty decided to write a book for some publisher or decided to fill in on a bit of weekend work in BBC or anywhere else, that it's all separate and they're not really joining the dots. And TD's questioning so far are not accepting this idea that that 75,000 wasn't ultimately a backdoor compensation for the reduction in pay that was been taken from the headline salary in RTE.
Yeah, and
they
also
don't seem to be accepting that.
We can't forget, Barry, but Noel Kelly said this was originally suggested. This is his claim. It was suggested by RTE.
Not only that, and he said a number of people just there were included and were privy to the details of this tripartite agreement, and Ryan Tuberty himself saying when pressed there by Imelda Munster with regards to this agreement and how it was ultimately contrived and calculated, that it was, he said, an RTE thing, and that he was under the impression that the money was coming from Renault at all times. So again, clear differences between what Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly are saying and also what we have heard heretofore from RTE. Worth pointing out as well that RTE did pay through the barter account for those events, those Renault Late Late Show events. So that'll surely be a thread that will be pulled by one of the TDs shortly.
Okay, and Louise, overall, your impression of the performance of Ryan Tuberty, let's focus on Ryan for a start.
I think you can see the pressure getting to him a little bit. It's already becoming quite fraught. We're only an hour in and we're only really, about 20 minutes into questioning. You've seen him hit back several times the TDs, accusing Imelda Munster of a misunderstanding. She said there's been no misunderstanding. We've been looking at this for 3 weeks, and him responding, well, maybe it's me misunderstanding. You can only imagine that it's going to get more fraught. He's been quite passionate. You can tell he's quite emotional about this. There was another moment there. I thought I heard his voice cracking. So, I mean, it's going to be a long day, perhaps not the best to kind of kick off on all cylinders so early, but we're going to have to see how the day goes.
Right. Imelda Munster saying you knew the deal was done, this tripartite agreement. This is her comments to Ryan Tuberty there, that you either had enhanced pay or you didn't accept the pay cut, but that you had knowledge of this. But again, Ryan Tuberty battling back, and Imelda Munster, she had been one of the more cutting questioners in the hearings so far, but she didn't appear to make much inroads, it would be fair to suggest there, compared to her previous interaction interactions with the likes of Geraldine O'Leary?
Well, she'll be back at the media committee at 3 o'clock, so maybe give her a chance.
Mm-hmm. Kevin?
I would say there's a long way for people who are watching this, and people will be glued to it all day. There's a long way to go because there's much more in the documentation that we haven't even touched on here in terms of those contract negotiations. It's quite an interesting insight into how that all happens, and the fact that actually, while Ryan Tuberty took pay cuts, he actually, there was a dispute over what kind of level of service drop he would do. So he would do less work for less pay and all of that. So I think the TDs, by the time they get through, Ryan Tuberty has said he'll stay as long as they want.
Yeah.
PAC has to finish at lunchtime. The media committee could go on till all hours.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we have today, then we have tomorrow with GAA Go. But then on Thursday, that's going to be a big day because Kevin Backhurst will be back in front of PAC, or will appear in front of PAC for the first time on Thursday to respond to what's being said today.
And I mean, we've already had quite a staunch defending from RTE this morning. You could only imagine what it's going to be like by the time Thursday comes around and by the time these two committee meetings are finished. I think what's quite interesting is in this booklet of documents that we got from Noel Kelly earlier, we did see some emails back and forth between him and RTE. Are there more? Is that a selective release of documents? We don't know that. I think it would be in RTE's favour now in the next 48 hours to sit down, go to every single server in the building and find every single one of these documents, bring them to PAC on Thursday, put this to bed. But now I doubt it's going to happen, but it would put it to bed once for all.
Yeah,
and even we've be obviously been focusing on the tripartite agreement, but there are the payments from 2017 to 19 as well, which Noel Kelly had said this was an accident waiting to happen. If we'd been told by RTÉ when they were publishing the high earner figures, we could have corrected them then. So lots of disagreements.
Quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.